You know, when Bob heard about the fact that we were going to have a 12-month celebration, we were chatting on the phone, and he said, I want to be there. I said, well, that's good. He said, I'm coming. I said, that's great. So I gave him the dates, and next thing I know, he says, I booked my flight. I'm like, whoa. Okay, he's serious. He's really serious about this, like, you know. And so I just praise God that you're here. And I just want the Lord to just use you and minister to each and every one of us. And I give you the freedom of this platform and this group of beloved people to just minister through the Spirit of God to them and to just let the Lord work through you in whatever way you feel God directing you. Let's give him a great, let's give the anointing a round. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yeah. It's a real honor to be here. You know, I know a good many of you. Some I've just met. But there's nothing any greater in this whole world is to meet another brother or sister that's in Christ Jesus. It's like meeting family you've known for years and you might just have met them the first time. We've been knowing one another, Andrew and all of us, for some time. This is the fourth time we've been here, right? We have a saying down south, one time you're a visitor, the next time you come, you're a member. Amen? And I've been in Britain for, this is the fourth time, so I think I'm British now.
Yes.
Amen? I just can't speak the King's English right, or one of something no connection, you know. So we say y'all and y'all come and all kinds of stuff down home, but it's really an honor to be here. I fly the Union Jack in my office all the time because I love this country. It's something about it. It's this most fascinating place. I've been a lot of other places, but it's fascinating to me. Amen. But we've had such a great couple of days here. Time has been going fast because they say when time is going fast, you're having a lot of fun. So we must be having a whole bunch of it. But and then Andrew and Grace have been, I don't call them hosts, I call them family. And they have been so gracious to us since we've been here. You know, Apostle Paul said, I long to see you that I might impart a spiritual gift to you. You see, God is all about giving. Amen. And I want to just share some word that God has placed in my spirit. And I have already been receiving the gift from you all. Amen. And so it's a mutual thing. Amen. The kingdom of God is ever expanding.
Yes.
Amen. The kingdom of God has to ever expand inside of us.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Maybe that's the reason some of us are so fat, but the kingdom of God it's ever growing. And that's the reason I love to meet other brothers. Everyone I met this morning has enlarged the kingdom of God for me. Because if I never see you again, I know where you're at. All right? I know your address. So it's a real honor to meet you this morning. I just want to share. We got home sort of late last night. And I wanted to share over here. And I'd like to go first to 1 John chapter 3. We came home late last night. And I told my wife, I said, I want to read a little bit for today. And so I went into the lounge and I opened up the book, and that's the last time I remember. I fell off to sleep. So I don't remember a thing I read. Amen. But when I finally got into the bed, about an hour after that, the Lord sort of called this scripture to me. And it's been rolling over in me all night. And I just want to share it with you. Because we're in the most exciting time that this world has ever seen.
Yes.
You know, the day of the Lord, the word says the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and gloominess. Amen? That's the way it starts out. Amen. It starts out in a day of darkness and gloominess, and that's what you see all everywhere. Amen. But there is the sun shall shine. Amen. But the morning star comes. Amen. And we have to be prepared. There's going to be one of the greatest influx of people that you have never seen before. You're going to have to get here early to get a seat. I was coming out of, I was telling Andrew, I don't know, time, I can't even, no, I don't know when I told him, but I was coming out of North Carolina, headed back towards Georgia back in December. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak. And he says, those that are in distress and those that are in debt, right? We've all had a debt we couldn't pay. That's the reason we give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a debt, I couldn't pay it. Amen. And those that are discouraged came unto David. And the Lord said, now they're coming to the Son of David. Amen. There's people out here that are distressed. Amen. Nothing's working for them. We met some the other night at the Teen Challenge over there. I was highly impressed of the love that was waiting on these that came in. Amen. And then to see the final results, we saw them graduate out of the program last night. I was just impressed. But the Lord said that those are coming. So you're going to see an influx of people that you have never seen before that are coming in with all kinds of problems. Right? See, it's the day of darkness that draws them to the light. Amen? You know, you can hold a flashlight out here in the sunshine and you can't see it. But let it get dark, and that light just radiates out. And he is that light. And he's doing something now in his body, who we are. See, we're a body. We're just not church or churchy members anymore. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about relationship. Amen? But there is the darkness. The Word says that light shines into darkness. And the Word says the darkness didn't comprehend it. There's sometimes they're not comprehending, but the light will never go out. If it was real dark in here and you flipped on the light switch, the lights, then the darkness can't hold it back. The darkness can't stop the light. And that's what is happening in us. God is got something for us now that he is bringing it right on time. We're right on time people. Amen. There's a rest of God, and that rest is in the now. See, everything of God is not yesterday or tomorrow. Faith is now. The Word says now faith is. And I can step right over here. Now faith is. You see? And so God has something. But I want to share this scripture with you here this morning. Is my voice okay? Okay. This is in 1 John chapter 3. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord woke me up with this morning. It says, behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. This love that he has bestowed upon us, amen, we've only scratched the surface of it. We don't even know the fullness yet of what God has for us. Because it goes on and says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. And it says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, that's the deal of the day. They don't know, this world really don't know who we are. And some of the church don't know who we are. Amen. People have been sitting in church for years and years and years and not knowing who they are actually in Christ Jesus. The Lord just didn't put us in here to decorate the building. Amen. We're to come into His purposes. Amen. He has a purpose that He has arranged. We have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. He knew us before we were ever born. That's hard to comprehend with a natural mind. But if you know our God, who is eternal, He knew everything from the beginning, and He knows how it's going to turn out. We win. And not that we just win, He wins. It was declared in eon times ago that the Son of God, amen, would be King of all in heaven and in earth. Amen. And that has not changed. It is as solid as this floor right here is. Amen. That He is Lord of all. And this love that He's bestowed on us. But listen, it went on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not. You see, what really cracked into my mind the other night when we were at the teen challenge, when they would come in, a lot of them did not know in what presence they walked into. Amen. They did not know. They did not know who was standing there. Amen. You said, well, it's just Bob and Andrew and Ken, and there was others there. But there was a presence of God there. You see, they know us not because they knew Him not. Amen. But there is coming a time that they're going to know the presence of God.
Yes.
They're going to know when you walk into wherever you go day by day. You say, well, I want them to know I'm a Christian. I want them to know more than I'm just a Christian. I want them to know the King.
Amen.
Amen. I am not the King, but He is. I had one time I was having problems in the church, and me and my wife, we were separated from the church there for a while, and there was a missionary out of Africa came. I had never seen him before, and he stood right in front of my eyes. It made my eyes cross. He was so close. And he said, they'll come to know who you are. And there was a lot of the people that had turned against us was there, and I said, yeah, one of these days, they're going to know who I am. And when I left there, headed back home, the Spirit of the Lord said, He's not talking about you. He's talking about me. That they'll come to know the Christ that's within you. See, this whole thing has been a mystery. It's a mystery. We give so much to the history that the mystery is where the life is at. Amen? We in America don't have much history, right? Here, I come over here, and I'm fascinated. Something can be 6,000 years old over here. And it's hard for me to even fathom how long that is. But they're going to come to see. You see, this whole creation is groaning. You can hear the groans. You can hear the complaints. My life isn't going good. Everything's against everything. And you can hear all these, and you're hearing a groaning. But what they're really searching for, amen, they're searching for the sons of God. Amen. They're groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the reason God has just not put us where we can keep the dust off the seats. Amen. But He is looking for he has a work going in us that is maturing. You see? When Ken has a grandbaby, But he's not going to hand the car keys to him. You know what I'm saying? I don't think. Well, Ken, are you? No, I know. You don't hand the car keys to an elementary school child. Amen. You wait till they mature in age and have the ability to drive it. Now, that's what God is mature. He's coming to mature his saints. Right?
Yes.
Ephesians 4, it says that when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men, which were the gifts of Christ. There's the gifts of Christ, and then there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he gave gifts unto men, right? Some he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? For the perfecting of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the church world has, a lot of the church world has set down to where the ministry has to do everything. Those days of the one man shows and whatever is about over. You see the televangelists now trying to draw everything to a certain ministry. Well, God now is changing the format of how he does business. Amen. Is that okay? That he's changing the format of how he does business. Because it has to come in Ephesians 4 to the place is that we can edify one another. Amen. We can edify and build up one another. Right? Unto this spiritual house, we're one body. Amen. The church world has kept it to the place is we're a bunch of individuals and we all have to be hand rubbed on the back of the head or something. But God is changing the format that where he is changing it to the place is that he is raising up a body. You know, he said, you go tell that old fox. This is Jesus speaking. You go tell that old fox, today and tomorrow I do cures and miracles. Amen? And for 2,000 years, all we've seen in the churches is a few cures and a few miracles now and then. Amen? But he said, but the third day, I shall be raised up. Amen? He was raised up in 3 days. Jesus came out of the grave. He was quickened in the grave and was raised, right? And on the third day. But this, we now are living in the third day. Amen? The word says that one day the Lord is like 1,000 years. We're living in the third day since Christ here. Amen? And he's raising, don't shoot me for saying this, but what he's doing now, he's raising himself up again.
Yes.
In the body of Christ.
Yeah.
He is the head, always will be the head. There's nothing going to change it. But a head without a body, he can't get around. Amen? He needs a representation of himself in this world. And that's where we are, and God is raising us up. And the word says, it goes and says, now, beloved now, either way, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know something. See, it hasn't been made apparent, right? It doth not yet appear, right? What we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, right?
Yeah.
We shall be like him.
Amen.
Amen. For we shall see him as he is.
Yes.
You see, we have to come now to see as he is. Amen. We know he's at the throne in the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Yes.
But he walked in earth and heaven at the same time. Right? He walked with the rest of the Father. The Spirit. Amen. It has not appeared. It doesn't appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, that word also means parousia or coming. See, the Lord is ever coming. Amen. I don't want to sit around and wait till I pass over on the other side to see him. I want to see him on this side and know him, be able to walk up and hug him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I want a now God. Amen. Right? One of these days he will be back. You can rest assured. But he's got to have a body for him to rest on. Amen. That will do his will. Right? So it does not yet appear who we are, but we know when he appears. And we all have had times that we have really, literally felt the presence of God, that the Lord himself has spoken to us. Amen? That's what he's talking about. When he appears, when he does that, we're as close like him as you'll ever get.
Amen.
Amen. The only thing is, you're going to get more of him.
Yes.
Amen. That's the deal. So God is looking for a maturity in Christ, in the anointing. You know, Apostle Paul, when you read the book, you'll see where he says, Jesus Christ, and then later on he'll say, Christ Jesus. Right? When he says Jesus Christ, he's talking about the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word anointing. And now we have the anointed Word. We have this anointed. This is the anointed Word. This is him. Amen. And God is raising up a body in this time that this world doesn't know, right? They do not know, but when he shall appear, it's going to be noised abroad. See, I was reading over here where I was telling Andrew that where he went into Capernaum. And they said it, some said it was Peter's house. I don't know, but it's one, as I said, went into Peter's house. Amen. Well, he is the rock. But the thing about it is that the word says there was a noise that was heard around. You see, when they come to find out that the love of God is in the presence. I see him as he is today.
Yes.
Right? He's wearing a brown coat. He's wearing a blue coat. Are you following me? I recognize. You see, that's what's been the problem. We have not been recognizing him.
Yes.
Right? We've got to come to recognize who he is and how he is in this day. And here he is. I present him to you. Look around. You'll see him. I see the Christ in you. Wild Bill. I call this guy Wild Bill. Been knowing him for years. I call him Wild Bill. I see the Christ in him. I know the Christ in him. Why would I want to look any further? Amen. I'm looking for him to appear, for him to come back. But before he does, and the word says that in that day you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed is he that cometh in the name, in the nature. See, the name means nature. Right? John came, the forerunner, and to the kingdom, And his word, John, means great from the Lord. Amen. That was his nature. That's what he came. That's who he was. Amen. So if we'll turn over here, I just want to share just a little bit. I don't know how long we got, so hold your hand up. And to John chapter 1. This chapter here, I think the word is called a microcosm or something like that. Helen, you're a teacher. It's like taking this whole big wall here and condensing it down to where you could see in a snapshot, right? It's really a microcosm of the whole wall. That's what this first book of John is. It's got the beginning, and it's got the end for you and I. It's the beginning, and it's also the end of who we are and who we shall be in this one chapter here. Because it starts off and says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And in Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This even goes back further than the heavens and the earth. It goes back. What he's saying here, this beginning is coming from the heart of the Father. Right? The Word was with him. Amen? That's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's been in the heart of the Father. Everything starts from the heart of the Father. A lot of religion, a lot of doctrines try to start it with Adam, but that's the wrong start. Amen? You have to go back further to the very heart of the Father. See, there's a heart in each one of us that's just aching to express itself. But we have to figure out what that heart is. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Amen? And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen? You'll see it in a minute. He says, in him was life, and life, and the life was the light of men. What this creation is groaning for is a light so they can see what they've been born for. I saw a brother that came in the other night. I don't know whether he come in just to have something to eat or whatever, but thank God he got it. And I had to just say, I saw the Spirit of the Lord in him. And I said, God, brother, the God has something great for you. Amen. You see, that life has to plant life in us. That's what he did. He is the life, and he planted a seed in us. Right? If we don't sow something, we don't get nothing back. But the love of God. Amen? But see, the world has been, the church has been waiting on the ministry. Or waiting on a ministry. If you have the gift of the ministry of healing and they're not around, then you can't get it. Amen? You have to wait to somebody with the gift. That's the way the church looks at it. Amen? But Paul said in Corinthians chapter 12, he described all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he says, but I show you a more excellent way. Amen? I show you the way that how all these gifts are going to operate in the church. Amen. And they operate in love. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You can turn your back for a moment on love, but then the Father's going to, when he shines into that, they may not comprehend right off the bat. But it is a seed that's been sown. But he says, And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the Lord said, you're not reading it right. You know, I said, God, I see it. It's black and white here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the Lord said, read it this way. There was a man, Jesus, sent from God, whose nature was grace and mercy.
Amen.
Amen. See, John was a man. And he said, I'm not the light, but we're looking at the light here.
Amen.
He said, read it. It was a man sent from God. Right? And that was a true light. It says, I lost my place here, but it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was Grace and Mercy. You see, it's grace and mercy out here is what this creation really needs. It's the grace of God that they need. But there was a man sent from God. Amen. John was sent. He was the prophet. He was a prophet, bringing in the kingdom of God. Amen. But he says, the same, talking about John, says, the same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He's speaking to us.
Yes.
Amen. He's saying, the same came as a witness. That's where we come in. We came as a witness. Amen. We didn't know this. Right? We didn't know when we were born. We didn't know what we was even here for. My grandson, when he got ready to go to school, he couldn't figure out even why he needed to go to school. You know what I'm saying? But it says, the same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And listen, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light.
Amen.
Amen. And he says, that was the true light. See, there's a true light. What we see right here is nothing. He is the light.
Yes.
Right? He is the true light. Eliminates. He's the one that turns the light on.
Amen.
Within inside of us, that dispels all the darkness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
When you give your life unto the Lord, that light begins to shine.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, the word said you don't put that light under a cover. But I want to show you something here. And it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Amen. He has created everything. Everything is his possession. Right? We were created. Right? He created the world that Bob grew up in. And the world that Bob grew up in wasn't so pretty, according to Bob. Amen? I don't know how many of you have had difficult times in life, and so many people have turned bitter because they have been looked like an outcast and no one wants them and whatever. But God created that. Amen? He created it that he might bring us to the place that we want to come to. He allows us to know both sides of the street. Right? If you don't know both sides of the street, how are you going to know where the middle is? Right? If there's no line there, how are you going to know? Unless you know this side and this side. Right? And God is... At one time, I thought God had just... I didn't even know... Didn't care whether I really lived or not. I came to a place in my life that I stopped on the side of the highway and got into a ditch. And I said, Lord, I want you to do one of two things for me. I give you your choice. Either kill me or raise me up. You know, sometimes life has gotten to the place is that it looks like there's nothing else to live for. I don't know whether somebody's been there, but I said, and I got down on my knees in the ditch and began to cry. And as the traffic was coming by, people would slow down, and then they would take off. I guess they thought there was a crazy man in the ditch. And come find out I was, right? But the thing about it is, and I said the second time, Lord, you didn't hear me. Either kill me or raise me up. There comes a place of the end of who you are in Christ Jesus. And the third time, I done cried all I could cry. And I said, Lord, you didn't hear me. Either kill me or raise me up. And really tell you the truth, I was looking for lightning to come zapped out of the sky and hit me in top of the head. It would have relieved my situation. Amen. And I cried all I could cry that I didn't have another tear. And I was just sitting there. And then the Spirit began to speak. And this is what it said. You didn't kill me, so you must be going to raise me up. That's what I heard. You didn't kill me, so you must be going to raise me up. And I got up out of that ditch. My problems were still there, but I was changed.
Amen.
Amen. Had lost everything I had. And then just a couple of weeks, I met my wife. And the Lord began to restore. You see, He's teaching us to come to the end of ourselves. I come to the end of myself a lot of times on a daily basis sometimes. Amen. I'm self-employed at home. And I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, I quit. I quit my job. I'm going to go find one. Right? But the next thing, Steve, I get up the next morning and I go back to work. Right? I don't know how many times I've fired myself, but I found myself hired the next morning. Amen? Because God is changing that light is beginning to change the whole look of life. That's what this creation is groaning for. But there has to be, I just wished there would have been a teen challenge when I was in the ditch. I guess God's always brought me up the hard way. That's just I graduated from school of hard knocks. Right? But the thing about it is, let's go on here because I don't want to hold you up. But he says, verse 11 says, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. Amen. He was all the time coming to Bob, but Bob wouldn't receive him. I didn't know him, right? And then it says, But as many as received him. See, that's the secret. There is a lot of belief in him. I believe in him. But you got to go further. That faith's got to go further than just believing. It's got to receive it. See? When you're stretching your faith out there, you're not just speaking it out. And now I have faith that everything's going to work out. And you walk out the door and all hell breaks loose on you. Can I say that? But you have to receive what you believe. That's the secret. But as many, didn't say everybody's going to receive him, but he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
As we have received him, He has given us everything that can bring us into the maturity of the Son of God. He's given us the power. That's the reason when it looks like nothing else is going to work in your life, that power steps up and say, just take one more step. Right? Stretch that faith. Go for it. Do something. You remember the guy with the withered hand that God was dealt with? And he said, and I've always looked at it, stretch forth thy hand. Amen? And then I had to look at it again, and he said something before he said, stretch forth the hand. He said, stand forth. See? That power that's working in us is ever standing forth, even when I don't even realize it.
Yes.
Amen? His grace and mercy is continuously standing forth in here. That's what he's doing in the body. We're coming to realize who we are in Christ Jesus. We know we're Christians. We speak Christ. But I wanted us to know who we are that's in him. Right? He must increase and we must decrease. Well, I've always tried to do the backwards. I'm always a backwards guy. I kept trying to decrease so I'd give him room to increase. But then I found out that as he increases, he pushes me out. Right? He brings me to anything, to less. That power begins to permeate. It's power means dunamis. It's like dynamite. Amen. When everything is going, not going your way and not going your neighbor's way, that power can stand forth and speak a word of faith and see it come to pass. Right? You see, I found out over here in, I think it's Acts, but where he sent out the 70, you see? He had the 12 disciples, but the word says he chose other 70. And the word other means a different 70. He had the ministry with him. But now he's sending out other 70. And means that's the fullness of God. He's sending his body out. That's what he's doing. And he sent, you know what God does for us every day? If he says, get up and go to the grocery store, and you have an unction just to be there at that grocery store, you know what's happening is? He's sending you before his presence. Amen? You just don't run out of bread just to be running out of bread. Amen? I got to go to the store and get some bread. And the next thing I know, you'll see that will bring his presence into that grocery store. Right? As you come, you bring that presence in. And I've been in and spoke words to people and walk out and didn't see anything going on. Right? I said, well, God, what is this? The thing is, he didn't say that you had to see it. You just got to do. Everywhere Jesus went, he sent a party before him. Right? Go and find the upper room. He told them where to go. Amen. And they would go to prepare a place. That's what he's doing with the body of Christ. We're going out. You see, I sit in a church for years where you say, well, one of these days, they're going to come. They're going to come. Amen. The people that need are going to come. And then I realized that it's the church going out. It's not waiting for just to come in because they're not coming. It's going to take someone going forth in the presence of God before his face. He sent them before his face. And face means presence. He sends us forth because he's going to come show up. See, there is a power within us that worketh that we don't even, we hadn't grasped yet. Amen. We're not supermen. It's only out of weakness does this power ever come forth. Right? We're weak, but He is strong. And so, as you go forth, He sends you forth. And His presence ever show up. But I want to get to one more thing, and I'll be closing out here. Amen. I don't want to hold and wear you out. We got next week. I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do here next week. Just get prepared. But He gave power to become the sons of God to them that believe on His name. And that word, see, when you're reading the word, you look at the little words. I've always looked at the big ones. But He says, and as many as received Him, them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Right? That word on means in. Those that believe into His nature. You know, name means nature. Right? There's a nature of God. It's the nature of the Father. It's the nature of the Son. It's what this creation is groaning for. Right? And it's the nature that's coming forth in us. And as that nature's coming forth in it, then Bob begins to dry up. Amen. They're going to come to see Christ in us, Wild Bill. You can bank on it that He's going to come to see Christ in each and every one of us. I always thought, well, I just, in no way I could preach or teach or anything. I was so bashful that when I first started, I would sweat drops of sweat big as my nail thumb here, scared to death. And the thing is that it's not whether we preach or anything. It's the presence of God. They'll see. They come. They just don't know who you are. Amen. You see, I heard this from Brother Cody. He says the enemy or Satan will always try to get a Christian to say who they are. Right? I'm a Christian. Listen, you don't have to prove who you are. I don't have to prove who I am in Christ Jesus, because I know His nature and I operate in that nature. That nature's love. There's coming such a great ministry. That's the reason we got to prepare our hearts for ministry of what is fixing to happen. And it's not that, oh, I ministry this, and this other. He said, I'll show you a more excellent way. You walk and you carry the love of God. You see, if you have that love of God wherever you go, I can act like I love you. I can might trick you now and then. But the love of God is so evident. There's no fake in it. Right? I've been around ministry and they, oh God, Bob, I just love you. I just love you. And they got a dagger in your back all the time. Have you ever been there? But the thing about it is the love of God. You see, that's the thing Satan cannot duplicate. The love of God and the cross. Amen. The love of God and the cross, he can't touch. Amen. And that's why we need one another to come to learn to discern the Spirit of God. Amen. To walk in it. But I want to say, go on here, because we got a week. But anyhow, he says, this is what John, he says, well, let me just read this other little verse. He says, that believe into his nature, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, it's not going to get it done. There's a lot of things now in ministries done by the flesh. Amen. But that's not going to get done. It says, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The flesh is not being made spirit. The flesh is flesh. It don't matter what it is. This is flesh, right? This carnal mind is flesh, and it is what it is, right? But the spirit can be made flesh, right? We can't see where the people, Mr. Martin, they've tried to become spiritual, right, through the flesh. And the enemy can see right through it. You go out here, anywhere you go, in America, whatever, we've got Googles of them, and you do not, you cannot trick someone that's born on the street. They have a sense about them. They can tell you whether you're lying to them in a jackrabbit minute. You know what I'm saying? But the love of God and that is shed abroad in our hearts is good, it doeth the work. And this is how the ministry is going to operate in this day and time to come. Is that it's, I show you, Paul said, a more excellent way. I'm just going to show you a different way of doing this thing. See? I don't have to rely on whether I have a ministry of healing or not when I'm sick. Because that power within me, the Christ within me, he doeth the work. All I have to do is trust and believe. Amen. You see, what's happening now is everything you've seen, I believe, in the religious realm now, it's all going to come back to Christ. It's going to come back into the oneness. The only reason it got spread abroad to start with was he said, I must go to the Father. And if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. And the place he has prepared for us is not over yonder somewhere, right? Waiting for the cabin in the sky, right? But the place that he has prepared for us is in Christ. You see, the kingdom of God, right, is not of this world. We have tried to keep it in the world, associated with the world. It's not associated with the world. It's not even of this world. Everything in the kingdom of God that you do, you can't go lay your hands on it because it's spirit. God is spirit. And so it has to come through the spirit realm. We have to begin to see, you see, we have to see those things or not as though they were. See, it's always seeing into the invisible. If you're looking into the natural, you're not going to see too much. Amen? But it's spiritual. Right? My kingdom is spirit. And you cannot have a kingdom without the king. Just try to have the kingdom of God without the king, and it's not going to work. You can forget it. Amen? But I want to, I'm skipping on here, but I want to say, listen to what John said. And in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake when Jesus come on the scene. When Christ come on the scene, this is who, right? This is who I'm speak of. And he said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. Amen. He that come after me is preferred before Bob. You see, I love to love people, but there's something. There is he that is coming after me, after Bob's self-righteousness, after all of Bob, right? I tell people all the time, this is where I'm trying to get to. Is I'm trying to, like you take a pencil and you draw a big zero, I want to come even further than just the zero. I want to come in to where the zero's rubbed out. That where, when you see me, you see Christ. See? But he said it's preferred. There's something that's coming after us that's preferred before John, he said. And it went on to say, he said this several times. But listen, and for time, I'm going to cut it short, but verse 25. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ or Elijah, neither the prophet? And John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. It is he who is coming after me is preferred before me. See, John knew he was coming to the end. Amen. We have to know that the nature of Bob is coming to an end. That you don't see Bob fly off the handle sometime. Amen. But you see Christ. When you see Christ, this is what the creation is groaning for. And listen to this. He says, he it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy, right, to unloose. He's talking about ministry, a servant ministry, right? And then he goes on and says, listen to this. It is who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara. Amen. That word, that place means the house of the ford. Like you're fording a creek. You're right? You're crossing the creek. And this is where it was done. It says, or the crossover place. There was a crossover where they could cross over. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. We've come to where we're crossing over from one nature into the other. We're leaving behind the old nature. Amen. The old Adam. Right? If you see and read, and I think it's 15th chapter of Corinthians, it says that the first Adam, the first man Adam was made a living soul, right? But the second Adam, it did not mention man. It just said the second Adam became a living soul, a quickening spirit. You see, that's where we are now. Is God is bringing us to where every one of you is a quickening spirit. Just want to tell you one instant. I'm going to shut up so we can get up out of our seats. I walked into a church here about maybe a month ago, Wednesday night. And as I was walking down the aisle, there was a guy sitting there. He had his old overalls on, beard, looked like he had just got off of a tractor somewhere. Right? And as I was walking by him, Ken, the Lord said, he's a favored. He's highly favored. And I didn't say anything to him. I went on to sit down. And believe it or not, the service was so draggy that right in the middle, I got an opportunity. The Lord said, go tell him that he's highly favored. And I just walked over and I said, brother, the Lord wants you to know that you're highly favored. I'm saying that to you today. And before I could say anything, I didn't know what to say. I just told him what I saw. And the Lord said, but come and see what I'm fixing to do for you, saith the Lord. Don't come and do anything. Just come and see what I'm fixing to do. And I went back to my seat and I said, God, what was that all about? You see? I didn't know what God was up to. This guy, come to find out, the next Sunday he came into the church. I wasn't even there. He had the fourth... What? The fourth stage of cancer in his body. And he come in and he says, I'm cancer free. Listen. It wasn't Bob that could speak that. It's a quickening spirit. I want us to know who we are, who you are today. I just want to let you know, Tony, that you are the quickening spirit, and it dwells in you 24/7. But there's a secret to it. You've got to hear it. Right? You can't think it up. You begin to hear. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. We're getting our minds off of the natural. Right? Because when I saw the guy, I said, my God, he's been in the farm all day. You know what I'm saying? But God saw something else in him. And I want you just to know today that you're a quickening spirit. The quickening spirit. You see, when he died, we died. Amen. He was quickened in the grave. Every one of us that come to the Lord Jesus Christ was quickened when we were dead, where nothing was going on. Amen. He wasn't quickened when he come out of, after he was out of the grave, he was quickened in the grave. Right? That life, quickening means life-giving. There was a life-giving spirit began to be developed in him that came to him. Right? And when he died, right? When he was crucified, you and I hung on that cross with him. Right? Took me many years to figure that one out, but I died when he did. I was crucified when he did. Paul said, I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ within me. Paul come to recognize the quickening spirit that was in him. That's why his ministry was so effective, that he come to recognize that quickening spirit. Right? And all Paul, when he died on the, I mean, when God arrested him on the desert, he asked the Lord two things. Lord, who art thou? And what would you have me to do? Amen. That's what he asked the Lord. Lord, who art thou? Well, bless God, Paul, you've been studying in the law all these many times. You didn't know him, right? But he wasn't manifested. He was manifested to Paul. You see, Paul had to go into the city blind. The ones that's in religion, God blinds religion so he might open your eyes. That's so odd, isn't it? We can get so far into religion that he has to blind our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so the miracle of life can come forth. The miracle of sight can come. You can see things that others can't see. There was a ministry I set in a long time ago for many, many years. He said, Bob, you've got to see what you see, but then you also got to see what you don't see. If you can come to see what you don't see or what's behind whatever it is, that's the secret. You're seeing things that are not as though they were. Amen? And so, that's what God is doing. There is something that is preferred more than me just being a holier-than-thou Christian. He wants the relationship that where he's got to have the ones that's going before his presence. Ken, you went before his presence the other night. Amen? It's coming to life. We live in a day of rest. The day of working for God is about over. Right? I quit trying to work my way into this. It'll never happen. So I just rest in who he is. I want to hear what he says. My ears, and we have to train our ears to hear. Right? But that love, I'm going to say that. Come on, I'm going to let you have. The love, listen. The love is the secret to ministry. If you walk into, we go into a lot of congregations, and I go in one reason is to love the body of Christ. Because if I love them enough, there's something in that love that wants to give you. Whether it be a hello, how are you? I hugged him first thing out in the street today. But that love will desire to give. He loved the world so much that he gave. He's a giver. And we're beginning to be givers. We're givers unto the Lord, right? If you do it, the word said, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. We've always thought right the opposite when I was growing in where we were at. We were looking in something else of what we were going to get out of it. Amen. He's no longer looking. I'm no longer looking for what I'm going to get out of it. He's promised to take care of you. He does take care of you. And so we don't have to be beggars anymore. What we're carrying with us is such as I have, give I thee. Amen. You may not have a dime in your pocket, right? But such as I have, give I thee. The gate of beautiful, the word beautiful means being at the right place at the right time. Right? Being at the right place at the right time. That's where the beggar was at, the gate called beautiful. You know, he just happened to be there at the right time when they came to worship. Amen? And he's holding out for something natural. Right? He's wanting something natural in his life. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brother, you have it. Amen. You have it, Tony. Every one of us has that in us because it has been planted, watered, amen, and it's becoming now to a fruitation, amen. And that's what this creation is groaning for. It only takes, the word says, when any two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. And you say, well, I don't have anybody to go with me. You're one, and Christ is one. Amen? That makes two. Christ is, the number of Christ is number two. Right? You don't walk alone anymore. You walk in Christ. And wherever you go, see, the body of Christ has gotten so bashful. See, but now we come to the boldness, being bold at the throne of grace. I learned this a long time ago, and it's that way I used to do. People say, well, Bob, would you pray for me? Oh, yeah. I pray for you tonight before I go to bed. And I said, what good is that? And people are wanting whatever, wherever they're at, they're into it right then, and that's when they need the prayer. That's when they need, such as I have, I give it to you right now. You don't have to wait before you kneel down at bed or something. You know what I'm saying? So, we're waking up. Shake thyself, saith the Lord, because I am fixing to bring in the multitude. The noise of this church is not by accident that we're even in this building today. Because it won't be long. You say, well, Bob, when is it going to happen? I can't tell you. God has it on in his scheduled time that they're going to come. And to prepare your hearts into the ministry. You love, and this is why you get in it. You love, then if I love you enough, I want to give you something. Amen? And then if you continue to do that more and more, what it does, then it turns off to a ministry. You just automatically minister it to. You don't have to, you know what I'm saying? It's just that you're into it. And that's what's going on. So we can expect God. He has finished the work. Amen. But now he's raising himself up. You know, we sung that song that says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Right? We saw last night, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. But we can also sing that a different way. He is the new creation. He is the brand new man. You see, we used to hear ministers say, well, he's going to do a new thing. And I would sit there and listen, hey, when are you going to tell me about the new thing? Right? And they would come and he'd haw around about and then we'd walk out there. We wouldn't know what the new thing was. The new thing is he's coming alive again in the body. Whatever he went through, he carried us through with it. That we are the new creation. He is the new creation. If any man be in Christ, Christ is the new creation in this earth. The people, this world hasn't seen it before, but it's nigh there at us. It's as close to us as our very breath is, okay? I don't want to hold you any longer because, come on, give it to you. But I'm honored to be here. I really am. I hadn't met some of you, but hey, we got a week here. Amen. And I love you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bob. A lot in there. What a truth. A lot to take hold of and grasp and to realize that there's so much mystery in the Word of God and so much presence. You know, and even while Bob was sharing, just one or two things popped up. It's like, I've not seen that before. You know, suddenly a spotlight comes on and you think, wow, I didn't see that before, quite like that. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, it says, the first Adam became a living soul. You know, and it suddenly realized that, you know, when we were born dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. We were going to hell, you know, on a fast train. And then Christ came, the second Adam, and it says, and the last Adam became a living spirit. And suddenly he came, and the moment he came and he breathed life into us, we became living. Amen. We suddenly became alive. Amen? Yes. You know, when the Spirit of God comes on you, we become alive. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, before the Spirit comes on you, you're dead. Yes. And those people that we see on a daily basis, those people that we see on a Friday night, they're dead. Across their forehead is written death. Across their forehead is written, I'm going to hell. Daniel on Friday was giving out leaflets for us whilst we were at the airport picking Bob and Peggy up. And he was sharing Jesus, just giving out leaflets and inviting people to come to church. Because we want people to come and to become alive. We want people to have life and have it more abundantly. And life starts in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of the flesh. You don't go on, do we, Bob? We don't go on how we feel. You know? You can get up some mornings and you feel, as we say in Yorkshire, dog rough. You get up and you feel, you're dragging. But that's the flesh. But you spend time in the Word and let that spirit be quickened. And suddenly, it's that quickened life. You're alive. It's like that man. He's a cripple. Give me something. All he wanted was money. Keep his lifestyle going. Yeah, yeah. You know, just want money to step as I am. And Peter looks at him and says, I ain't got anything to keep you like that. But what I do have will change your life forever. Will change your life forever. Because it is the life of the Spirit of God. You know? We're born to be spiritual. We're born to walk in the realms of the Spirit. We're not born to walk in the things of this world. There's an old song, this world is not my home. I'm passing through. We're passing through. Hallelujah. But you know, when we pass through this world, we're going to leave a mark that says Jesus Christ was here. We're going to leave a mark that says Jesus is alive. We're going to leave a mark that says there are signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus. That's why we're here. No other reason. And while you're doing that, you'll enjoy life. You'll have peace, joy. The things of God. You'll know His power. You'll know His victory. And you'll know His glory. Hallelujah. And we saw something of that on Saturday evening. The manifestation of the sons of God. Transformed from death into life. The life of the Spirit is what birthed life in them young men and women. The life of the Spirit. These two guys received the life of the Spirit. They were dead. They were ready for a body bag. But the life of the Spirit took hold of them and changed them. And as Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Hallelujah. We win. We can't lose for winning. Glory to God. I'm so excited.